Hello, everybody. Good morning. It is December 21st. It is our last webinar of the year. Kind of sad, but some great news is that it's almost Christmas. Hopefully, you guys have done all your Christmas shopping. I did on Black Friday. Let's see here. We got some people slowly coming in. Come on in, everybody. Welcome. Let me get everything set up for us. Let's see if I can do this correct. So we're going to say show screen. We're going to say show PowerPoint and show PowerPoint slideshow. Let me see. Somebody let me know if you can see my slideshow and everything is clear. All right, thanks, Ashley. Okay. So, is anybody doing anything fun for Christmas? Is anybody going out of town? Thank you. Barbara says, Merry Christmas. Thanks, Barbara. I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas. We are going to do what we always do, which is we're going to run through our last week's webinar together. And if you have any questions that you would like to address with me, you can do so if we didn't have time to go through it last time. And then today, since we didn't really have a topic that anybody, requested that they wanted to talk about, I noticed that there were some times where you guys were asking about CEUs throughout our 12-week webinar. So I think I'm going to go through that in depth on the actual CEU IDCEC website this morning. And I will show you guys exactly how you can start if you want to get involved with continuing education course credits for your designers and or those referral partners. Okay. Additionally, I wanted to kind of get an idea if there's any other questions or anything else throughout today that we need to talk about. Maybe another topic I haven't addressed, or maybe a topic I did address that you just want me to dive into some more. That's what today is about. I want it to be all about you guys. So we have a whole hour for y'all to just pick my brain. Okay? First off, before we go over last week's webinar, I got a question from someone to the support email, and I just responded to it. But the question was, I thought it might be beneficial to go over it with you guys. It was, Aliki, have you ever been asked by your referral partners to refer their services in return to referring your services? So hopefully that question made sense. So in other words, they asked me, hey, Aliki, I'll refer your services if you refer mine, type of thing. And the answer is, I have gotten that many times, and you will too. And it's a very simple answer. So what I tell them is, oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I would love to refer you guys. Let me speak with management. That's usually what I say is, let me get back to you and speak with management. And just so you're aware, they'll probably want you to come in and do a presentation for us so that we can get to know you and get to building a relationship with you so that they know that we can trust you guys like you have began to trust us. So something along those lines. You want them to know that a lot of these places, they're kind of lazy. Like you pop in there and then they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to get this girl next time she comes in here to refer us, because they don't have to do anything, right? Because we go up there all the time. Well, it's not that easy. We're not just going to refer anybody, right? We want to make sure these people are reputable and that they're honest people and that they've been in the industry for years and have experience like we have, right? Now, if they haven't been in the industry for years, that's okay. We still want to be able to get a chance to know them and know that they have, a good reputation. Maybe they have some references that we can speak to. So you want to be careful with that. If they're just like, oh, well, I'm not going to refer you if you don't refer us, and I don't really have time to do a presentation or something like that, you're going to know that these people aren't very good to do business with. I have cut like two people off in the whole 3 years that I've been doing this. that were just so persistent. If you weren't going to refer me, then I'm not going to refer you. And they didn't want to do a presentation. They didn't want to do any of the work. So I don't like getting in those kind of awkward situations. So I just stopped visiting them. And you guys should too. But, you know, it's not going to happen that many times. It might happen 8 out of 10 times that you go visit people out there. So just let them know. I'll get with management. Do you have any papers to give me? Do you guys, would you, you know, like to set up a presentation and get with them on that? Additionally, we let them know that we don't just refer one company. We let them know that depending where the client is located, we will refer them to the company that is closest to them that we trust and know. So, like, for example, if I'm in Houston and an hour away from me is Spring and there's a client in Spring, okay, which is up north, and that client needs a designer, I'm not going to refer them to somebody who's in Galveston, which is an hour south of us. I'm going to refer them to somebody who is close to that area, right? So I let them know that. I say, hey, we don't just refer one person. We refer wherever that client is situated. So hopefully you guys can use those answers to the people out there, and you guys can let me know how it turned out. I haven't had anybody really challenge me with those answers because it's the truth. Like, I do have to run it through management. I have to get Howard involved because we're not just going to refer any company because guess what? Our reputation's on the line, right? So I understand it's a great deed. We want to refer people, but, you know, we're not just going to do it just to get our referrals. I don't like doing business like that. I want to know that these people are real, honest people. Okay? So let's jump into last week's. We talked about that your business is not a business, or it's, business without a profit is just a hobby. So you don't want your hobby to be a, you don't want your business to be a hobby. You want to make some profit. So that's where we do our budgets, our goals, our vision, our tracking, and we pull our reports. You have to be doing this on a consistent basis. And if you don't have time to do it, then you need to find somebody else who can do it for you. Okay? We talked about your vision and your company. Vision, the vision for your company, and then your vision for the marketing department as a whole. So do you have one? Have you been able to make one between last week and this week? Do you know the difference between a vision and a goal? Did you set your goals? What are the goals that you have to obtain or to reach to meet your overall vision? What was your vision for the marketing department? And what are your goals and strategies for the marketing department? And does your team know about it? Because I know it's really important for you to know about it, right? But it's even more important for your team to know about it, not only to make them feel included, not only to make them feel valued, but so that they also understand what the goal is in mind and that they know what they're working towards. It's very important for everybody in the company to know the vision and the goals. So we talked about my vision and goals. Remember, we took my number that I was hoping for us to make as a whole in marketing, and then I broke it up, right? And I told you guys all the different goals that I needed to make, whether it was a breakfast presentation goal or a number referral goal for the month, whatever it was. We broke them down, and we talked about how you have to obtain those goals in order to meet the overall vision for the marketing department. We also talked about meeting with your team and how important it is to meet with your team. It's great to always get together, not only to share ideas, but you want to make a sense of community with your team. You want them to feel like their ideas are wanted. You want them to feel like what they have to say is important. You want them to also help you keep on track. You'd be surprised. A lot of our team members help keep me accountable. I love that, you know, because you can't do it alone. Tell me one person who's gotten to the top alone. There's not one. So you want to be able to meet with your team, get together with them, speak with them, and get ideas, and also let them know the goals. We talk about how we made an agenda, and how you guys need to start bringing an agenda or a handout for your meetings. That's a great visual. Not only will it let them know how far along they've come so far in the month or in that year or how many presentations they've gotten, but it also lets them know any new things that have happened in the marketing department. So for example, if any kind of changes happened or if there's a rule that needs to be added or if an example or if an incident happened at one of the designer places and everybody needs to know about it on how to handle it, that's where you guys come together and just brainstorm and talk these things through so that everyone is on the right page and on the same page. You also want to make sure you're meeting with these people one-on-one. I meet with Dina every week. I call them like our daily huddle, okay, weekly huddle, if you will. You get together. I always build a relationship with her every week. I want to know how she's doing personally. I could care less about business in the first 10 minutes. I just want to know how she's doing. I want to know what's going on in her life. I want to know if there's anything I can do to help with it, because guess what? If you're not building a relationship with your team members, how do you expect building a relationship with your referral partners? There's no way. It starts with your team. They want to feel loved. You want to make sure they feel appreciated and that they feel like you care about them, right? And that's the same way we act with our referral partners. So it starts within. So you want to get to know them and make sure that they're okay, because if they're not okay, then they're not going to be able to do their job. And so that's why you're there, to help them through it. So if they're having a bad day or if something happened in their life, not only do you want to encourage them, make them feel better, but you also want to make sure that they don't go out and visit routes as well, because you don't want to make the people out there feel sad. You want to always bring them up. Yearly, monthly, weekly referral goals. We talked about that. You start with your year, break it down by the month, break it down by the week. I told you guys about my example. Same with your presentation goals. Start out by the year, if you want 50 presentations, great. Divide that by 12. That's 5 presentations per month. Divide that by the week. Probably one and a half per week. Obviously, you can't have a half of a presentation. So it's probably better to do 2 like the first week and then 1 every other week in that month. Okay, track your numbers. If you have some sort of CRM system like we do, which is SoftServe, you can open up your reports, figure out how many times these people have referred. All right, make sure you're following the rule of 7. Keep those binder tallies on your binder. Always know how many times they've been referring, and make sure they're in your target market. If they're not, you have to find all these things out. We've been talking about this for weeks now. Okay, so now we're going to get into our CEU talk. So yes, this is our last webinar, but I want this to be a very informative webinar. So please start with the questions if you guys have them. That's what we're here today for. So I'm going to pull up my computer here. I want to talk to you guys all the way from the beginning of how to start even beginning to think of doing a CEU. Like what is a checklist that you have to have, and what is it that, how do you even start? Where to begin, right? So I'm going to open up my Safari. Okay, let me know if you can see my Safari, guys. Thanks, Ivy. All right. So this is your dashboard of IDCEC. Okay, if you do not have interior designers as your referral partner and you might have another referral partner, then you want to get with them and find out who is it that is their national association that you have to get involved with to be able to give them a CEU credit course. Okay, ours happens to be IDCEC. All right, so I have a login account. I have my number here. You have to create a password, and then you just begin. So here's your dashboard. I already told you guys that in order to, let me open up this in a new window. I'm going to tell you guys who you need to contact and where his contact information is. Hopefully it loads fast enough. All right, here we go. This is going to be your main guy, Jeremy Roberts, right here in the middle. He is going to help you. He's the fastest responding man. So even if you don't understand after I show you all of this today, You should definitely get with Jeremy. He's going to help you exactly tell you step by step of what you need to do. His phone number is great. He responds via voicemail, email. He's awesome. Okay? We have to first, number one, figure out if you're getting with a designer who would like to have a CEU course, you have to make sure that they're affiliated with ASID. That is step number one. So if you do not have a designer who is affiliated with ASID, then the designers who come to that course that you're teaching will not get a credit. Okay? It does not mean you cannot still teach a course. It's just that the designers will not get a credit. So it might be harder for designers to show up to your course. So just be aware of that. But if you don't have an ASID in your area, that's totally okay. You should still do a course and try and invite as many people as you can possible so that you can educate them. If you do have an ASID in your area, make sure that designer that you want to host the CEU with, you have to find a host. You need to make sure that they're ASID affiliated. Once you find out that they're ASID affiliated, you need to get with ASID. Let's open up ASID Houston. You have to find out whether or not, well, we have to pick a day and time. You have to find out whether or not ASID will be able to host it on that day. So you go to their website for your area. So like mine is called the Texas Gulf Coast. And you go to news and events and calendar. Okay? Obviously, I'm not going to do it in December. Number one, it's over. Number two, people are always out of town. I usually stay away from December. We usually start doing things around January, like around the 9th, because people come back from their vacation. So you can already see somebody's already doing a CEU here on the 19th, and then someone's doing a CEU on the 26th. Well, our CEU is going to be on February 16th. You can see it right here. Don't miss the CEU on MicroSeal. So we already have it on the calendar. We found a date and time. And then look right here. You can see our flyer that we created, which is going to be your next step. So first, you have to get with a designer or flooring professional. It's whoever you want it to be, but just make sure that they're affiliated with ASID so that the designers get their course. Then you need to find a date and time. Make sure ASID approves of it. They have to approve of it to put it on their calendar. And then you make a flyer, and you put the flyer on here so that they know, you know, where they're going, how long the course is, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Okay? Once you've done all that, your next step is to create the course. So for us, I had our technicians create the course for me. Yes, I edited it, I fixed it up, I put the pictures in the PowerPoint and all that jazz, but they should be the ones wanting to grow, and giving them the sense of empowerment is amazing. They love it. So you want to create the course. Now, you also want to figure out how long you want the course to be, and that's going to depend on what you think your designer wants or your flooring professional wants. So we usually ask them. They say no more than like an hour and a half, because people start dozing off. You always want to have food available too, so that it gives them something to wait for. So you give them the food at the end of the CEU course so that they stay the whole time and then they eat their food. So here you'll see our two courses that we already have approved. We're waiting on our third one. But this one is our carpet maintenance one. And it has a 0.2 value, which is a two-hour value. Now, they don't let you do halves because this course is only an hour and a half. So we had to go up and bump it to 2 hours, because you don't want to put 1 hour because that's too small, but you want to give them at least their two-hour credit. When you later finish a CEU course credit for these designers and you teach them the class, you then have to input all of the designers' names online, and that's how they'll get this credit. So that's a whole other issue. I won't be showing you that because it's not going to let me show you, because there's no course that I have to offer on the books. But you can go through all that with Jeremy. He'll let you know. But the next one is our Stone 101 Hard Surface Maintenance CEU. That one is a 1 hour credit, so they'll get 0.1 credit value. Okay, they have to be approved. If you don't get an approved status, they'll email you and let you know, hey, I need you to change slide number 5. It was taken falsely from the internet, you know, that kind of stuff. So make sure this is stuff that's coming from your company and from approved books. They make you write your bibliography and all that kind of stuff. So don't be taking things randomly off the internet or things that aren't true, stuff like that. Y'all know how it is. Just like back in school, you don't want to be plagiarizing, right? So once you submit your course, see, will it let me click on it? Yes. Actually, let's go to submit a new course so you guys can see what it looks like. So let's pretend my carpet maintenance course wasn't there. Let's pretend I'm writing it in for the first time. And actually, we'll just go through the motions and do my microseal one. So the use of the course would be ongoing. I don't want it as a one-time only. I want to be able to teach this course. In fact, you're able to teach this course a limited number of times for 2 years. So you pay the fee, I think it's like $300 for the course, something like that. Don't quote me on that. But you get to use it unlimited times with however many designers you want for 2 years, which is great. You always want to click in person, obviously. The course titles, like our course title will probably be Microseal. Why is my computer so slow again? Well, Microseal, the world's first permanent fiber protector. Something like that. I don't know. Okay. Subject code primary is probably going to be interior design education. Yes. Subject code secondary instruction. Length, 0.1. Ours is going to be 1 hour. Course description. This is where you're going to tell them what it is that you're going to be teaching. We will be teaching people about the only, actually that's what I need to put up here, the only, world's only permanent fiber protector. Oh, yeah, that's fine. So we will be teaching people about the only permanent protector in the world. Intended audience. Choose your primary audience. Residential. Maximum audience size. I don't know. I just guessed the 200, but we haven't had that many people show up. We usually have no more than 50, no, 60. I'd say 60. But I always put more than enough just in case. Degree of interactivity. I say hi, we'd love to be interactive. Basic, I would say, is the learning level, because we don't put anything difficult in here. We don't get too technical. Y'all should write that down. Do not get technical with these designers. They don't care about technical. It goes right over their head, to be honest. They want the easiest, fastest information, so do not get technical with them. There's no need. Plus, it's just confusing. Like, I don't want to sit there and hear something really technical, because then it gets boring. Okay, so bibliography, here it goes. It's going to ask you for your bibliography, so this is where you put all your bibliography. Requested designation. I don't know what I put last time. I think I just left that. And then prior course presentation details, if the course has been offered previously, no. Continue to the next step. This is where things are going to get very, very tedious. Because they're going to ask you to write down all of the learning objectives, all of the content outline, and all of everything that you're going to be putting in the PowerPoint. That's why it's very important to already have the course ready to go before you submit it. Another key factor to know is you don't want to submit a course too early in the year without you having an actual due date of the actual course, because you're going to lose that time that it's been submitted. So our next CEU is in February. I'm not going to submit this course until like mid-January. And the reason why is because I don't want to lose, like we've already created the course. I created it last month. I could have easily put it in the computer system last month, but then I'd be losing November, half of November, December, and January. That's 2.5 months that I would be wasting towards my total of 2 years that I can use this course. So I like to submit it at the very last second. at least 2 weeks before the CEU date. And the reason I say that is because it takes about a week to have it approved. And so I want a week to have it approved, and if I need to make any changes, I'll make them, you know, before the course, like that next week. But if you don't like to live on the edge like me, then you can submit it like 3 weeks before time. But I think that's plenty of time. I wouldn't do more than 3 weeks. All right. So facilities and equipment required. Add new facilities. So it's going to ask you, what is it that you're going to need? Choose a maximum of three types. Well, I always put overhead projector screen because you need that. You have to have a projector screen and or a computer with a TV, however you guys want to have it. Then I put personal computer, because I put a USB on my computer and then I project it on the screen with the proper cables. And then I put, oops, that's not what I meant to do. And then I put microphone. We use a microphone. You guys should totally invest in it. If you don't have the money, it's okay. Just teach your technician to speak very loud. But we were able to invest in a really nice headphone. It attaches to your ear and it has the little microphone. And it's great. You can hear anywhere you are in that room. Learning objectives. I always have a hard time with this, because every time I write something in here, the lady always emails me back, that wasn't a learning objective. Please go change your learning objectives. And then she'll send me like a link to learn about learning objectives, and I'm like, wow, she thinks I'm dumb. But you have to be very specific with your learning objectives. If you just randomly write stuff in here, they're going to send stuff back to you, and you're going to keep having to make changes. So make sure you know what it is. So just to Google it, what is a learning objective? I will give you an example of something that they are looking for that you have to write in there. I wish I could just go back and see everything that I've done, but I can't. Okay, so learning objectives are statements that define that the expected goal of a curriculum, course, lesson, or activity in terms of demonstrable. I thought it was demonstrable. Anyways, skills or knowledge that will be acquired by a student as a result of instruction, also known as instructional objectives, learning objectives, blah, blah, blah. You can always Google what is an objective. So basically, what is the sentence or what is the statement that you're going to put that will tell them the expected goal of the course or the lesson? So what I would put here, where is it? Here we go. What do I expect them to get out of this? Designer will understand how to protect their investments. And you save it. Then you write another one. Designer will understand the process of spraying MicroSeal. You just keep writing all of the objectives. It says a minimum of four is required, so you have to have four. Designer will understand. Did I misspell that? Understand how to spot clean. And then, I don't know, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Designer will understand, what else? The technology behind the product. I don't know, whatever, right? Save those. Boom, you're done. You only need four. Move on. Okay, add new contact. Total number of minutes must be broken down in increments of 15 minutes or less, and the total number of minutes must add up to the total number of hours. So this is kind of tricky, but you can just put whatever. So content outline. So ours is going to be an hour, right? So you have to break that up into 15 minutes. So each topic that you put in here, you have to put the right duration of minutes. So you have to be careful of that. So there will probably be, what is, we can just do four main topics, because 15 and 15 is 30, and 15 and 50 is 30, and 30 and 30 is 60, which equals 1 hour. So you can do four major topics in here with the 15-minute increment. Okay, so maybe I'll say history of MicroSeal. Save. That'll take up 15 minutes. It's really dumb how they do this, because that definitely does not take up 15 minutes, but you just do it and they're not really sticky on this part. History of MicroSeal, then the structure of MicroSeal, so like how it was made, 15. And then so on and so forth. Okay. Course material. You may load handouts, speaker notes, quiz or test questions, or presentation files. This is where you're going to put your PowerPoint. Now, if you guys don't have $350 to spend towards this, that's okay. But as soon as you do get it, this would behoove you to make these courses for these people. This is going to get your name out there so quickly, and they're going to establish you as the leader in your industry. Okay? Not only that, but like one referral alone can that you get from this course will top that $350. You'll definitely get profit back. Now, the $10 here is the in-class course schedule fee. You have to pay $10 as a fee in addition to submitting your course. Don't ask me why. I don't know why. So, but you have to pay for the course first for $350, and then you pay the $10 later on. Excuse me. All right, so just remember that. Before you submit a new course, you have to submit your instructors. They all have to be approved. So if you want to give empowerment to your technicians, you have to make sure they're being approved. And guys, this isn't you shouldn't be scared about this. All of our technicians have never done a CEU course before. So you don't have to be scared like, oh, are they going to not let him speak because he's never done it before? No, they'll ask you if they've ever done one before, and you just say no. Like I've told them straight up no, and I'll show you how to do that here in a little bit. But you have to have them approved. They will send emails to the references about these people. So make sure you give legit references as well, and make sure those references are going to say good things about those people. So when you go to add a new instructor, you put their first name, you put their last name, their email address, their primary phone number, their secondary, I don't put secondary phone number, their address, I put our company's address, the city, our company city, company state, company zip code. So I guess I'll just put myself as an example. I'll just make one up. Oops. Here, I'll put the support. I'll put Howard. Primary phone number. Making things up. Fax number. I don't even have fax number. Address. Company address. Save. Professional profile. Company name. Instructor's job title. Here, I just put whatever that technician is. So for Walter, I put Master Rug Technician. For Eddie, I put, or for Juan, I put Hard Surface Textile Consultant. Courses taught in the past 2 years, I put zero. I tell the truth. It doesn't matter. All they're going to do is email the references. Well, let me go to references. It won't let me go there. But here, you just put a little biography about them. What I had the guys do is I said, oh, well, let me look at the guys. Said that you have to rate them like on a scale of 1 to 10. So Scott and Joe both gave them all 10s, and so that's how they were approved. We have a question from Dan. What type of ASID membership do we need to have to do this? Do we need to be national ASID sponsors? No. We just have the basic membership. I'm not sure. Partner, basic membership. So you don't have to have anything fancy to be able to do this. What else can I show you guys in here? No, I think I showed you guys everything. So the next thing to do after you've submitted your course, you've submitted all of your speakers and whatnot, you need to start practicing. Have your technicians practice. We have ours go in our morning meeting and practice in front of everybody. If they mess up, they mess up. That's what we're here to do, is we're here to grow, and we're here to help each other and give constructive criticism. And you'd be surprised how quick they learn. They love it. It's really cool. You can really see some of them really come to life when they do these presentations. We got a clicker. So if you're doing a PowerPoint presentation, it's probably best to get a clicker. You can get it cheap, like at Office Depot, for like 15 bucks, I think, or 20 bucks. And they can click their way through their presentation on their own. Have them practice with that. If they're not practicing, they're not going to do well in front of like 60 designers, and they're going to be really nervous. Some of them are nervous anyways, but the more and the better you practice, the better the presentation is going to be. Another question from Dan. Can I host the event and be MC and also be the technician? I think so. I think you can host it at your place. I know you can host it at your place, and you can be the MC and be the teacher. I'm pretty sure you can. I would ask Jeremy to be exact, but I don't think you're not able to do it. But that would be awesome if you did. Let's go back to our PowerPoint. Let me know if you guys can see the PowerPoint now. Another question from Dan. How about at a florist store where there is limited space between the racks? You guys do it wherever you think people will come. Make sure it's got plenty of parking. I would suggest that you host it with someone who sells the product that you can clean or that you can service for them. And the reason being is because not only are they going to win and get more business, but you're going to get their business. You're going to get all of their designers that they invite. That's the whole pro about having one of them be a host, is that they're going to invite their designers to come that you might not have in your clientele list, and then you're going to invite your designers to come, and they might be using you again for a service that they didn't even know that you can do. So I would definitely make sure that you find someone else who can host. I think that would benefit you a lot better. So after today, what more do you guys want to learn with me? Are there any topics that you guys can think of that you would like to jot down? Let me see some ideas. Is there anything that I've missed that you would like for me to talk about? What is it that you guys need? Ivy said ASID. Okay, Ive, I can do that. Let's see. Let's go to my Safari again. Let's go to ASID. So if you want to know if you have an ASID in your area, you simply just put ASID and then you're wherever you live. So I put ASID Houston and this came up. So before you even become a member, you can attend some of these events. If you go to their calendar, they show you a lot of events that they have upcoming. You can go to them for free. I think they let you go to 3 of them for free. So you always want to go and see if you are going to be able to meet people, if it's going to be a fit for you, that kind of thing. It ended up being a fit for us, and we've been with it now, I think, for 4 or 5 years, which is really cool. I love going to these events. We go there, I'd say, at least twice a month. And the fee, I think, is $300-something a year, and that's nothing because the people that you meet, the designers you meet, the referrals you get are endless. They show you all the upcoming events here. They show you lists of the students. They give you the industry partners and probably designers' names on here. Find a designer. They give you chapter information. They give you the Ruby Awards, which we went to. What else do they have on here? Jobs available if you're looking for a job. How to join ASID, and obviously their contact information. So you guys should get very familiar with this website. Dan says, how come I choke on trying to ask for the sale and get the referral source to actually schedule a breakfast presentation? I'm not sure, Dan. Don't think about it as asking for the sale. Remember, we're not salespeople, so we're educators. And not asking them is doing an injustice to them. So if you mentally prepare yourself for that, then you shouldn't feel like you're asking for a sale. If they say they're not interested, then okay, you know to track them for another 7 months. If they are interested, then that's great. That's when you just get with them and you schedule it. But you can't lose. Okay. Ivy says, the closest ASID is about 2 hours away in Jacksonville, Florida. We really don't have any storefront interior designers. Any suggestions on where to find a meeting close by to even find these people? Yeah, Ivy, you can literally Google interior designers. Let's see if we can find one. And this is what I did. Interior. Hey, Ivy, tell me exactly where you're located in Florida. Like, where's the city you're located? Because I think 2 hours away is too hard for you guys to drive all the way that far to go to these ASID events. Andy asked, how do you compensate marketing team members? Great question, but that is for Santiago to answer, Andy. So you can email Santiago about that. Okay, Ivy said the Village is Florida. Interior designers in the Villages, Florida. This is what I do to Houston. So it should tell you where is the Villages. I don't really know this area. But when I type these into Google, it'll let me know what's in the area. So decor galore, drab to fab, not sure if that's a house. Looks like a house. The Village Home Center, you can put up more places. The Decorating Den, I don't know if these are too far for you, but we usually go up about an hour to an hour and a half north and an hour and a half down, south, hour to an hour and a half west, an hour to an hour and a half east. And we cover all this area. I'm pretty sure we would cover all this area. So all of these places are places that you could potentially visit. You can also put in here or interior designer associations in the Villages, Florida. So here's the best 10 interior design in the Villages. It's on Yelp. House is a great website to go to. I love House. This is really going to help you guys find designers in your area. They have a lot of information on them. Sometimes they even have their address, all that kind of stuff. So you can find these people. Fruitland Park, Wildwood, Florida. Look at all these interior designers, Ivy. So you just need to look at them, make sure that they're in your area. Google is literally going to be your best friend. Let's see if we can find an actual association or group. If you don't find the Village's Home Decorating Club, if you don't find one on Google, when you start meeting these designers, just ask them, say, are you guys affiliated with any associations or groups that I can also be a part of? You know, and that's how you're going to find your way. I don't know what this is, but Ivy, you probably know where these things are. But Google will be your best friend. So use Google, look things up. Same with flooring professionals. I do the same thing when I Google those. Oh, come on. Oh, don't you dare freeze on me, guys. I'm trying to go back to my Google. Oh no, please don't close on me again. Hopefully, you guys can still hear me. Stay with me. I don't know what's going on with my computer. Let's see, I'm trying to minimize it. Oh, now it works. But now I minimized it. So now it's like really freezing. Okay, let's go back. Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. All right. So let's try flooring professionals. Because maybe if you can't find flooring professionals in your area, then you can find flooring professionals. So these are the ones that are in your area. And you can also look up carpet stores. Okay, Floor Masters, Great Lakes Carpet and Tile. You can also look up stone or tile stores. Dan asked, how is it different getting referrals from high-end designers who work in gated communities as opposed to getting referrals from designers? What? I'm confused about your question, Dan. Ivy said, what if most interior designers work from their home? That's okay, Ivy. So what we do is we do not visit designers who work out of their home, but if you're just starting out, then, I mean, that you're going to have to make that call. I don't want our girls going to the home. I don't. We've had some bad instances in the past where people show up in like nothing but a robe on and or their towel on. I don't want them to be subjected to that. So you need to make that call. But if they've referred us and they work out of their home, then we send them a welcome package, which is like we put our brochure in there, we'll put our free trial offer in there, we'll put a letter in there saying, hey, thanks for the referral. If there's anything we can send you, please let us know. And if they refer again, then we put them on a goodie list. We'll send them goodies once a month to their house from send out cards. Okay, Dan said, oh, I meant realtors. How is it different getting referrals from high-end realtors than it is from designers? The difference really is that the realtor is not interested in referring our services. They're more interested, then they really could care less about the referral certificate. All they care about is getting that house clean and ready to go to get the family in and out. That's it. That's all they care about. So that's why we don't do too much referral visits with realtors. Now, for you guys starting out, remember, I already told you guys, you need to go out and talk to them because they all need to know about you. And there are some realtor places that will refer you because they're smaller and they really care about the value of their client. But our realtors here are like 200, 300 plus people in these buildings, and they could literally care less. So it's all up to you on how you want to assess that. Designers for us work way more because they care about getting their client again. They always want to be able to have installations for their clients. So they will for sure care about the referral. Not so much the money, but they care that their client is being taken care of. Great questions. Keep them coming, peeps. Keep them coming. Let's go back to my PowerPoint. Is anyone interested in an ongoing support program with me? Because I know this is our last webinar, but I hate to like just leave you guys. If you guys need something, I don't know, like a once a month webinar where I check in with you, or a twice a month webinar, or you would like for me to come out and visit you guys and help your marketing. I mean, I don't know, whatever you guys would like, we would take the ideas and try and figure out how else we can provide value to you. Okay, I don't see anybody having any other questions, but let me know if y'all have any more, because we are coming to a close. Okay, Ivy, you said we should do more webinars. Do you have an idea of what it is that you would like for me to teach on, or how often you would like for me to teach on? Because right now it's every week for 12 weeks. Do you have any preferences as to what you think would work for y'all? Are Wednesdays good for you guys? Is maybe there another day that you would prefer it to be? Dan says, do you bring the certificates to the referral sources, or you just wait for them to be mailed? It depends. For the most part, we mail them out. Sometimes we do refer. Sometimes we do take them. Like if it's a really big check, I love to take really big checks to them and make them feel really excited. But if it's like 10 or $12. I usually have them mail it in. So that's totally up to you. Thank you, Aliki. I'm sure I'll have a question in the future about something I'll come across. Thanks, Ashley. Thank you for being here today. Maybe a refresher every 3 months to check progress. Okay, Barbara, that's great. Great idea. Isaiah, thank you. Isaiah said you've done a great job teaching us. For me, the main thing I need to continue doing is implementing. Yes. Remember, FTI, the number one reason why businesses fail and marketing departments can fail is because of FTI. So, yep, you hit the nail right on the head. All right, Barbara, Merry Christmas. Ivy said maybe weekly. Okay. Sounds cool. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you all for being on this webinar series. Y'all have been a blessing. I've enjoyed it a lot. I'm glad that you guys got a lot out of it. And just to, so you guys know, you will have these replays for a whole year. All right, so anytime you need them, you can go on the website. Let's go there right now so you guys can kind of remember where it's at. The howardpartridge.com/AlikiSeriesReplay. You have this website for a whole year. So if you guys hire more marketing or you hire a new marketing, whatever, have them go through this. This is a great training for them. They have to hear this stuff. They need to know why it is that you run your company the way you do and what is it that they need to say and how do they need to present themselves. That will all be on here for one whole year. Additionally, don't forget, you guys can always email me at the support email. I'm here for you 24/7. Well, not 24/7, but 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, I get those emails. So I will be able to respond to you during those times. All righty. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And God bless all of you. And it's probably not going to be the last time that I talk to you guys. All right. Enjoy the time with your family. Much love.